Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey team, just Dave here with Matt and Jess.
Hello.
Hello.
We are just dropping into your feed midweek to tell you that what you're about to hear is a little bonus mini episode, if you will.
I will.
Ooh.
Can I call it a minisode?
Oh, I love that. Minisoda.
Oh, you are about to hear.
Yes. Delicious.
Minisoda. And this is the audio taken from episode 3 of our web series that you can watch for free right now on the Stupid Old YouTube channel, which we will link in the description of this episode. And it definitely works as a podcast, just like all our other episodes. But if you want to see it in its full glory, 4Ds, full high definition, our faces, a library, some animations, some sound effects.
Yep. And some Dave.
Yes.
You get to see the 4D.
The 4D stands for Dave. You can click the link in the description of this episode, but otherwise you can just hear the audio of it, and definitely works as a podcast. And Matt, what are we about to hear this week?
It's all about the darkest day in Australian racing, the fine cotton scandal.
It's a pretty wild story.
It's a wild ride. We probably didn't need to say any more because we're about to tell you all about it in this episode.
Yeah, totally. So check it out along with all our other episodes that we've put up on the Stupid Old YouTube channel. But apart from that, sit back and enjoy.
It was one of the most controversial events in Australian horse racing history, involving an imposter horse, a record betting plunge, and a motley crew of colourful racing identities. This week, I'm talking about the fine cotton scandal. Hi, I'm Matt Stewart. This is Jess Perkins. That is David Hornacky.
Hello.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me in my bedroom.
Thank you. You don't have a bed.
No, I never sleep. Or if I do, I do it sitting and reading. So if I nod off, please poke me with a stick today. You excited about this?
I'm so excited.
Are you familiar?
I love a scandal.
Great.
You know, I love drama.
Yes.
I love gossip.
Yes.
I love...
Tick, tick, tock. Mm-hmm.
Can I just say that I love cotton, so...
What kind of cotton?
Whatever this is.
Fine cotton. Well done.
Thank you.
So, let me take you back.
Please. Are you hypnotising us, or are you just telling us a story?
I'm telling you a story in hypnotic form.
Cool.
On the 18th of August... 1984, a good year. Mm. The second novice handicap was run at the Eagle Farm Racecourse in Brisbane, Australia. The following day, the newspapers would call this racing's darkest day.
Oh, was it a bit cloudy?
It was very overcast.
Oh, no.
Couldn't see who won.
Yeah.
It was a race where only horses who had limited to no success were eligible. And even amongst this ordinary company, a horse named Fine Cotton was a rank outsider.
So it's a horse race for losers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a participation award.
Totally.
For horse racing.
Yeah, there's like lots of levels. So, you know, the group one's like the big race at Melbourne Cups and stuff. And then it goes all the way down. There's levels for full-on battlers.
But what's to stop you from pretending to be shit and then on race day, oh, I'm far lap?
I think you can do that once, but as soon as you've had it, like there's maidens, races that only horses that never won can enter. So one, you can do that once, I guess.
Right.
But you'd have to pretend to suck for a while.
I mean, that's actually been my plan my whole life.
But then what's the prestige of winning the race for losers?
Winning?
Good point.
That's a good point.
That's a good point, well made.
I'd rather win the race for losers than lose the race for winners.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is your kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So Fine Cotton was born on the 29th of November 1976. He was a veteran racehorse and a genuine battler. In its 70 career starts, it had only won twice. In its previous race, it came 10th in a field of 12.
Okay.
So it's top 10.
It had some wins and some dud races, but 2 out of 7 is
not great.
Not great.
And I'm no mathematician. I'm not really into horse racing, but I don't think that's good.
Yeah, you're right. I believe.
I took a punt there.
I used to be, hey, good start. Thank you. Used to be riding a horse racing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you lost everything.
I lost everything. Mm. My house, my car, my friends, my face.
Yep.
Had to get a new one.
Had to get a new face.
That's not cheap.
And that's what you chose. Crazy.
I didn't have a big budget.
How much did that face put you back?
Well, in 1983 dollars.
Yeah.
78 cents.
Oof.
But today,
yeah.
That's $4 or $5.
Yeah.
So, no regrets.
Yeah, fair enough.
When the betting opened, it had odds of 33-1. This is Fine Cotton. Meaning for every dollar you bet on it, you'd win 33 back if it got up. Whereas the favourite, Harbour Gold, was the short price favourite. I think if you put a dollar on it, you might not even double your money.
Oh, certainly. Right. Harbour Gold.
Harbour Gold.
That's a good name.
It's a good name.
I bet on that one.
My favourite horse name ever is Hoofhearted.
Like, I don't get it.
Like the horse's hoof.
Okay.
At heart. But it sounds like who farted.
Oh, it's like one of those double meaning things.
Yeah, yeah. And
wow.
It's better when you explain it too.
I agree. Because I didn't get it before.
Yeah.
And then when I got it, after you explained it,
yeah.
It was better.
You're welcome.
So much money was bet on Fine Cotton, though, that by race time, its price had shortened to around 4-1. So it'd come in from 33-1 into 4-1 in the matter of a few hours. While the favourite Harbour Gold drifted out to 5-1.
Oh.
So now Fine Cotton's the favourite, Harbour Gold's moved into second favourite. Punters were backing Fine Cotton so heavily, it was almost as if it was a different horse. Because it was.
We're a big fan of the phrase, it was a different time.
Yeah.
But I much prefer the phrase, it was a different horse.
What you've got to understand is...
It was a different horse. Okay. Yes, my grandfather said some problematic things. Yeah. It was a different horse.
It was a different horse. This wasn't a pre-9/11 horse. Quite literally.
They grew up in a different horse.
Do you want to know what this story is? Intrigued sufficiently?
I'm very intrigued. You're saying it's not... It's changed odds. Like it was a different horse because it was
a different horse.
Yeah,
I'm fascinated to see how the logistics.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I like it.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back to around a month prior where this scam originated. It was a scam, by the way. It wasn't just
spoilers.
It didn't somehow just morph into a different horse. Wow. Humans made this so.
Humans morphed it into a different horse.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are we capable of that?
Yeah, we are.
Sick.
If we believe in ourselves.
We have the technology.
That's my main takeaway message today. Believe in yourselves and we can change horses. Full stop. The scam was organised by a syndicate of colourful racing identities, all of whom are said to have loved a beer.
Okay.
I mean, if you didn't love beer, would they not let you into the scam?
Yeah.
Test number one. You drink this beer.
No, I'm really more of a red wine kind of guy. Get out.
Get her out.
Next.
You get out.
The group was made up of its leader, John Gillespie, a small-time criminal who'd been in and out of jail throughout his life. There was also Robert North, the son of a wealthy Brisbane socialite, and he was also worked in real estate, and also making up the trio, a horse trainer and likable lad named Hayden Haytana. It's a pretty sweet name.
Hayden Haytana.
Hayden Haytana.
Oh, I love that.
Haytana.
Haytana.
Fine Cotton was
Hayden Haytana. You know, like that. Really jumps out at you.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. That's how he trained his horses.
Yeah, it spooked
his horses would be like trotting along. And, like, hey! And they'd be like, and they'd run faster.
That's how horses run.
On their hind legs. Fine Cotton was purchased by the group for $1,000, which was very cheap because it sucked. It had already sucked, you know, it had already been racing for
Yeah, $1,000 is cheap for a horse, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of horse you're living in.
It doesn't matter what.
$1,000, it's confusing now. $1,000 is cheap for a horse.
Yeah.
How
much
does a horse go for?
$1,000, that's the only horse I've ever known.
Well,
price.
I don't know anybody who owns a horse.
Really?
And you grew up in the Athlone East. Well,
no.
I assumed you all had your own horse.
No, we lived in the suburbs. Not We didn't have fields, paddocks.
I would have thought you had property. Acreage.
Yes. Acreage. Father, shall we go visit the horse this weekend? No, I didn't have a horse. Thanks for bringing it up. I asked every Christmas.
I had 7 ponies.
I just wanted one full horse.
Yes, 7 half horses.
Doesn't add up. Dad kept saying it did, but it didn't.
It doesn't.
7 ponies does not make it a horse, Dad.
That's what I'd say.
That's what I always said to him. So they bought Fine Cotton for $1,000, but they also had another horse named Dashing Solitaire that cost 10 times that amount. Dave?
10,000?
Yes.
Oh, God, thank God you're here.
I mean, tick, tick, tick. What you didn't know is we edited out 5 minutes there where I went out, did the sums, and we're back. 10,000.
We called a mathematician.
Yeah. Brent, can you confirm? Brent, just confirm.
Brent. Brent is our resident mathematician. Yeah, we've got him on retainer.
Hello, Brent.
He's our mathematician.
If you were to guess who Dashing Solitaire might have looked like as a horse, who would you guess?
Farlap.
Mr. Ed?
Fine Cotton, an absolute dead ringer. They looked identical.
Oh,
apparently,
what are
you
the
couldn't
chances?
Pick them apart.
What are the chances?
So, how would they know who was who? Did they put a bow on one of them?
They put a bow on one.
You know, some people, when they have identical twins and they like paint the toenails of one of them when they're little babies so they can tell the difference, did they paint their toenails?
Actually, that's pretty, that does, something like that happens later, yes. Pretty much, it does.
I'm a genius.
The two horses looked identical, but as runners, they were nothing alike.
Oh.
Dashing Solitaire was a much more talented runner and had form that would have ruled it ineligible for a race like the second novice handicap at Eagle Farm. Second novice handicap.
You're cheating at the second novice handicap.
What are you doing?
But that's what the syndicate planned. Dashing Solitaire was going to run as Fine Cotton, allowing them to back their horse at high odds and make a small fortune. So it's not about winning the prize money. It's about
betting on their own horse.
Betting on a horse that's going to have odds of like 33-1,
but you
knowing that it should have much better odds.
Yeah, right.
Put $1,000 on. You.
How much you get?
Coming up.
How much you get?
Let me call Brent.
Get Brent on the phone.
And we're back. 33,000.
To ensure Fine Cotton was paying a big price, in the month leading up to the race, they overworked it on the track and ran it in other races. Something like 9 races in 30 days.
Oh,
that's
poor
too
horse.
Many races.
So it's like, yeah, like full animal cruelty stuff.
If I work 9 days in a month, I am exhausted. You know what I mean?
Which you do nearly every month.
Oh,
well,
God.
Or you mean precisely 9 days?
Precisely 9.
10, 11, fine.
No. Any more than 9.
Really?
I'm a wreck. I need a month off. So I work month on, month off.
You're a FIFO.
Yeah, comedian.
Radio host / comedian.
I'm a FIFO comedian. You got to look after yourself, you know.
Oh, you do.
9 days. Oh, my goodness. When do you sleep? Unbelievable.
Night time.
What's that?
Oh, that was, sorry, I thought you were asking me a question.
Night time.
You last when I sleep. With each poor run, its price would get longer in the subsequent race. So it was ballooning out further and further as they went along. Haytana trained the two horses.
Haytana!
Whilst overworking Fine Cotton, he quietly trained Dashing Solitaire to be cherry ripe for the big race. Unfortunately for the syndicate, though, things came unstuck when Dashing Saltaire was injured only a week before the race.
Oh, no.
Cutting his leg on a barbed wire fence, meaning it was unable to race.
Oh, no.
From here, the smart play would probably have been to abandon the scam. The three were meeting in a Brisbane pub when Gillespie phoned their financial backer, Mick Sayers, to tell him that they might have to call it a day. Sayers didn't take the news well, telling Gillespie if he bailed on the scam, one of the trio was going to turn up dead.
Oh,
one in three chance.
Yeah.
That's great. Two out of three.
Yeah.
The odds are in your favour of not turning up dead.
So, yeah, worth the rolling of the dice?
I'd take that.
Well, they disagreed.
Oh.
So if someone said one of the three of us was going to get killed, because I'll remind you there's three of us as well, you'd be okay with those odds?
2-1.
Let's play Russian roulette later.
Yeah.
Dave's going to die.
I don't think I am.
I think you are. Because I'm going to rig it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I shouldn't have said that.
You shouldn't have said
yet.
It out loud.
Yeah.
Can you edit that out?
Edit that out. Oh, Dave's head.
Stricken that from the record.
I will. And I will not tell Brent about that when he does the odds later on.
So this is what Gillespie said. He said, oh, he was at the pub. The three of them were at the pub. He went off, took this phone call. He said, oh, Sayers said one of us is going to be dead. Apparently, though, that might not have actually happened. Maybe Gillespie was making it up, using Sayers as a sort of boogeyman to scare them into going through with it. That's what journalist Peter Hoisted believes. Hoisted become like the kind of the expert on this whole scandal. He's written a book about it. He goes around touring, doing interviews about it.
Touring.
Yeah.
He does 100 dates a year.
Yeah. He's a touring journalist.
But yeah, he's a long-term columnist for The Australian as well.
Cool.
So either way, whether that is what happened or not, they forged on with the plan. But now they needed kind of a plan B because they didn't have the imposter horse anymore. So they needed a new horse.
Get some kids in an outfit.
Yes. Did they think about that? Yeah, themselves.
Yeah.
I reckon three men could outrun a horse.
Yeah, three times the running ability.
One horsepower equals three manpower. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's mathematically correct.
Yeah.
I'll double check.
Brent.
Okay. So they ideally wanted another identical horse. But the odds of finding one proved to be difficult.
Right.
Because they couldn't. Not in the couple of days they had before.
Horses, like humans, are individuals.
Yeah. Well, they're all snowflakes.
It's beautiful.
Well, I know we're all snowflakes.
Yeah.
That was like one time we went on a school camp to Outback Australia and there was a pub where people would put their licenses. All out. The pub was just covered in licenses from all around the world. And of course, we're there, 17 years old. Got to be 18 to drink here. So everyone's going, trying to find someone that looks like them to use as their fake ID.
That's so good.
It's, as you said, the odds are really against it.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I wouldn't have even thought of that. That's the kind of nerd I was.
But the photo's so small. A horse is big, you know?
Yeah, true.
I reckon.
And like, you're looking at a photo on someone's ID, all you're seeing is like shoulders up.
Yeah.
But when
you're not saying what kind of hooves they have.
When you can see a horse, you can see all of them.
Yeah, their faces might look similar, but their tails might be slightly different.
Yeah.
That is very true. So they were on the lookout for another horse, couldn't find one that was identical, so they had to buy one that they could get their hands on. And it was a horse named Bold Personality.
Oh, that means he's a bit shit. Like, he's an ugly horse, but he's got a bold personality.
You know? I hadn't considered that, but yeah.
He's a shit
They're
horse.
Really, yeah, really focusing on the
That's a really shit
there.
I
mean, if he's an ugly horse, then the other two are ugly horses too, right? They look similar.
No, this one
he doesn't.
Is particularly ugly.
It was based in Coffs Harbour, so they had to go up and drive it back on the back of a float to Brisbane. Like Dashing Saltaire, it was much faster than Fine Cotton, but unlike Dashing Saltaire, they were not identical.
Okay.
Looking. In fact, probably beyond both looking like horses, they didn't have a lot in common physically, including size, colour, that sort
size.
Of stuff.
Size.
Colour.
Yeah.
I mean, both of those things are pretty hard to change.
I reckon you'd notice, to be honest, first thing I'd notice is that it's a different colour.
Right.
First thing you'd notice is size, typical.
Yeah, I'd be like, that horse is six times slasher than that other. This is the biggest horse in the world. You've chosen the horse that's in the Guinness Book of Records. And then you've tried to replace it with that. I mean,
you could have
picked any horse.
Why did you choose Megatrot? This is the biggest horse of all time.
This is a statue of a horse. It doesn't even move.
Yeah, we'll put wheels on it. It'll be fine.
It's got a remote control. It's sick.
We'll put a Ferrari under the hood. It's driving around the track.
It's a prancing pony.
Doing burnouts. Can we have money now?
Yeah, just give us money.
Do we win?
So the syndicate had a problem. The horses were different colours. Fine Cotton, a dark chocolate brown. Bold Personality, a much lighter brown. It's both brown.
Yeah, sure.
How many browns can there be?
Basically the same. To conceal this, on the eve of the race, the boozed-up trio made their way around Brisbane, clearing out chemists of ladies' hair dye.
To be fair, it is easier to go darker than lighter.
Thank goodness.
So, otherwise they'd be bleaching a horse, and that's not good. And then you've got to go like a toner to get the right kind of colour. Going darker is a bit easier, to be fair.
Okay.
So
you're feeling good about this?
No, absolutely not. But I'm just saying, like, phew, that's one thing they didn't have to worry about was bleaching a horse.
Yeah. But they bought the entire city supply of hair dye.
Yeah. They were driving around just buying $4 or $5 because they need a specific colour and brand. So they just went around.
How did they figure out?
Horse brown. Do you have any horse brown? Oh, yeah, we've got $4 or $5. It's fantastic. We'll take them all.
I wonder how they figured out exactly which colour they needed.
Yeah, well, I think they just probably got a box and held it up next to the horse.
They walked the horse into the chemist. Yeah. What colour's that?
Yeah, have you got any of Clairol that horse colour brown? Yeah, we do, actually.
Actually, yes.
Yes.
We just got a pallet full.
That's the number four, no worries.
Anything else?
There's women with brown hair in the city going, I'm going grey and I can't cover it.
I've got regrowth.
Later that night, whilst downing many beers, the group set up a makeshift equine salon and gave Bold Personality a makeover, rubbing the hair dye into its beautiful light brown coat before drinking some more and passing out. As they awoke the next morning, bleary-eyed and hungover,
this feels like it's going to end badly,
they went out to inspect the results of their dye job. The sight that greeted them wasn't good.
Okay.
As they went into the backyard at 6 a.m, already with fresh beers in their hands, they were greeted by the sight of a bright orange Bold Personality.
That is bold.
Yeah. Now I get where the name comes from.
Something they didn't consider is that human hair and horse hair apparently is different.
Huh.
And it is, you know, it reacts differently to hair dye. Somehow human brown equals horse orange.
It's a horse orange.
I think that's day one of hairdressing school.
Is it the opposite? Is your beard horse brown?
Yeah, I tried to dye it horse brown and, you know, this disaster happened. Embarrassing. Yeah, I did not get to run in that race. It was an unconvincing lookalike before. Now, even more so.
Yeah.
It's the world's biggest horse and now it's bright orange.
Apparently, one of them burst out into laughter as they saw it. But it's the day of the race now.
And they think, or at least two of them think, that Mick's going to kill one of them if they don't win.
Yeah, so like...
Yeah.
Laugh cry.
My favourite kind.
Yeah, the only kind.
Or a shower cry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about a shower laugh cry?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Never that combination.
Yeah, I pushed it too far. I'm so sorry.
Unbelievable.
They were running out of time and had to start making their way to the track. On the way, they stopped at Robert North's place, where they took Bold Personality out onto the front lawn to try and hose off its new colour. They also had, at the same point, they had Fine Cotton with them as well. So they had the two horses on the trailer, just in case at some point they had to do a quick swap back. So they're always ready with Fine Cotton there as well, just in case.
Why not just dye Fine Cotton orange as well?
Oh, that's good.
Is it?
In the past.
Yeah, but, oh, yeah, okay.
So if anyone goes, hey, Fine Cotton is an orange, you go, yeah, he is. The real Fine Cotton's over here. We'll show you. Oh, no.
I've said too much.
So apparently they're doing this on the front lawn. So if anyone was driving past that day.
Just see a horse in the front yard getting hosed down.
And it's bright orange.
Bright orange. So it would have been quite a sight.
Oh, my God. This poor horse.
Luckily, the orange dye rinsed nicely out of the coat. And while wet, it actually looked quite like the colour of Fine Cotton.
Okay, let's wet the horse.
So let's just keep the horse
wet. We'll get a fire truck to drive alongside it, constantly blasting it as it wins the race.
That, I don't know if they thought of that, but if you were around back then.
I'm an ideas man.
You are an ideas man. So they knew that with time, the horse would dry and it would go back to the light brown. So their backup plan was to put a coat on it, you know, like a horse coat.
Yeah.
And just keep it covered until the last minute, take off the coat when it's in the race. Hope that no one notices.
Yep.
That's the plan. And a good plan.
Yeah, That seems pretty reasonable.
Is that a good plan?
Could just be like, the horse is a bit chilly.
Yeah.
Why not orange. Just, I mean, chilly.
Why not just put it, just keep the coat on in the race?
Maybe just don't do the scam at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, you're right. Again, stupid of me.
Put the effort in and train Fine Cotton to be better.
Oh, did the opposite of that. They tried him to be worse. That wasn't the only problem. Another problem, Fine Cotton had distinctive white patches on its hind legs, sort of like white socks.
Aww.
Bold Personality did not.
Okay.
Okay.
That feels like something you'd probably notice.
It's a pretty obvious one.
You're going to put socks on this horse?
Yeah, put socks on him.
He's got a jacket, he's got socks.
Yeah, he's ready to hit the town.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, that's cute, isn't it?
You see him like rocking up. The bounds like, I'm not in those shoes, sorry, mate. Oh. I'll put socks on.
I got socks on.
I'm actually quite dressed up for a horse.
I think you're fine.
Actually.
Google a horse. Yeah. None of them look as good as me.
You ever seen a horse in a fedora?
In a fedora?
Yeah, he's got a fedora on.
Oh, this horse is just ready to go.
Just complete the look, you know?
Fedora, that's a dress-up horse.
Fedora bull. I hate myself for that.
Oh, I thought it was great.
No, you didn't. Don't you lie to me.
You're fedora bull.
Stop it.
Evan, could you put a fedora on Jess's head?
Whoa.
That's cool. You are fedorable.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God. So they remembered that amongst the drinking the night before, they'd forgotten to do anything about the white markings. Like, oh, that who was meant to do that? We forgot. Whoops. But then in the front yard.
Again in the front yard.
Still in the front yard, Gillespie looks over and notices a can of white spray paint. He's like, oh,
why was
I'm
it
in luck,
there?
Finally.
What are the chances?
Why was it there?
Out of the shed.
Sure.
So he goes over with a beer in one hand, white can of spray paint in the other. He sprays the markings on a Bold Personality's legs. Fine Cotton's right there, so I can make it look just the same.
He's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Double thumbs up.
Yeah. That's all he was doing with his thumb, was just giving the horse legs thumbs up. Yeah. Thumbs up to you. Thumbs up to you.
Good job, legs.
Again, thumbs up to you.
Do you think this whole time the two horses are talking to each other like, what are these fucking doing?
These guys have lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah.
The white paint did not look good.
It can't be safe either.
Come on.
Don't paint an animal.
This horse, like, honestly, they treated it so badly. It was in a hot, sweaty trailer the day before, a long drive from Coffs Harbour to Brisbane. Apparently, this is something that our mate, the Australian journalist, talked about as well. Apparently, it was so dehydrated when it got there, they had to do this weird thing where they put a hose down its throat and just poured water straight into its stomach to rehydrate it.
Obviously, that is horrific. And also, they want this horse to win a race.
Yeah, so look after it.
Yes.
Everything about it is, it's...
They don't seem like great people.
No, but also so dumb.
Yeah.
That's the main focus for this, is that they're dumb.
Do you really have this any point where you're spray painting a horse that you think... What am I doing?
No, I think that's when I'd be like, this is living. This is just what I imagined my life would be.
At some point, you'd just be like, I'm so deep into this.
No,
you will want to try anything.
But it's funny because you get caught in these things where it feels like I've come this far, I've got to follow it. But if you pull out at any moment and just scratch the horse, idiots aren't talking about it in 35 years' time, you know?
Yeah. Hang on, wait. He's saying we're idiots?
I'm sorry, not us.
The other YouTube web series about this.
Yeah, yeah.
They're idiots.
No, well, the conversation that this kicks off.
Yeah.
This will spark conversation.
So you're saying our viewers are idiots?
No, the people they tell. And then they tell secondhand.
So our viewers' friends and family are idiots?
Not their friends, their acquaintances.
Okay. Their enemies?
And enemies.
Okay.
I dare you to tell them.
Tell your enemies.
Tell your enemies close.
Hashtag
tell your enemies closer.
Share information with your enemies day.
You said enemies twice.
Tell your enemies close. That was close. The part of that.
But tell your enemies closer.
It's one of the things I lived by.
Fool me once.
So the white paint didn't look too convincing. So they go, I know what'll solve this. We'll wrap the ankles.
Oh, I thought you meant
With bandages.
Oh, I think it was a glad
wrap. No, bandages, horse bandages, covering the horse's ankles. Still, this wasn't the end of their problems. They're like, all right, we've done a pretty bad job on the paint job. We'll put a coat on it. The paint on the thing doesn't work. Let's cover that as well.
And you don't mean a coat of gloss?
No. they put a high
Shen
gloss.
I reckon I know what can fix this paint job. Another paint job.
At least it was hair dye, because I'd heard a long time ago about this briefly, and that they painted. I'm picturing like house paint with a brush.
Yeah, like a roller. I was imagining a roller, because like brush feels like it's too close to the texture of a horse.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just like brush on brush.
You can get a horse hair brush.
Yeah.
So that feels appropriate.
You're just rolling on.
That's what they should have tested the hair dye on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if the socks, the orange paint job, that wasn't the end of their problems. All of a sudden, one of them realised they hadn't fit the horse with shoes yet. It was going around barefoot.
Aw, doesn't that hurt the horse?
Oh, but technically, you put socks on before shoes usually.
So yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. Good point, Dave. Yep.
I don't know if it hurts a horse, because when do they put them on if they're going to have to work on... Because, I mean, horses don't naturally have shoes.
Yeah, that's true.
Their feet are very hard. It's I think horse hooves are just... You know, keratin or whatever, fingernail stuff.
Right.
I think they evolved. They used to be like feet with toes, and it sort of evolved out of a nail, I think. Is that not true? I think that's true. Evan, in post, can you put either true or false underneath that?
Is it flashing on the screen right now? So it doesn't have horseshoes on at all. It
doesn't have horseshoes on.
You need a farrier.
Yes. And apparently they grabbed the phone book, like, who's a farrier who can keep a secret? Because obviously we're bringing in someone last minute. They're going to see this weird scene.
They call in Freddy's tight-lipped farrier.
We don't Freddy tell no... I ain't no snitch.
Freddy, just put the shoes on.
I don't want to hear nothing. I'm just here to put some shoes on a horse.
I ain't seen no horse.
I ain't seen no horse. I just see horse feet, okay? I just put the feet on the horses.
I'm a butcher. Tells them off the scent.
So they got
what do you mean? I never met no horse. I never put no shoes on no horse before.
I'm allergic
to horses. Why would I put shoes on horses? I don't know why I'm doing this bit, but I love this character.
Tight lip Freddy the farrier is great.
I don't even have hands. How could I do it?
I've never even heard of a horse before.
What does it look like?
What's a horse?
that like a bin with wheels?
I don't know.
That could be what a horse is.
A bin with wheels.
He's good.
God, he's tight-lipped.
He really throws him off the scent. I mean, he's not tight-lipped. He just speaks gibberish until people lose interest and walk away slowly.
Okay, we get it. Jeez.
So they get the farrier around, tight-lipped Freddy.
Yep.
And he realizes when he gets there, he's like, I thought it was a harness racing horse. It's a thoroughbred, is it? Like, yeah. And he's like, I've only got shoes for harness race horses. And they're like, well, we don't have time. Just chuck them on. Apparently they're quite different. They're made for very different running styles. But they were running out of time. Some shoes were better than none.
To win the race.
Yeah.
And they're not really putting any actions into place to win the race.
No, it feels a little bit, now everything you've told me, I would give them odds of 33 to 1, yeah. Which is what they had in the first place.
Yeah. They've done everything to make this horse that's way better than the field come back to the field. He, like, by the end of this, yeah, he deserves to be running in this race.
I mean, if he wins this race, like, he deserves the win.
Totally. So he's now a recently orange horse with white feet and bandages. Must look like such a fool. This horse looks like an idiot. It's wearing the wrong shoes. It was badly dehydrated the day before. It's not an ideal preparation for a big second novice handicap race. So as ready as it was going to be, and they were back off to the races again. Through all of this, Fine Cotton was still there along with him, and Fine Cotton came along for the ride to the track. They just kept it out in the parking lot.
That's sad.
Well, they crack a window?
I guess so.
Because you'd hear your name announced. You'd be like, what? No, wait, that's me. I'm Fine Cotton.
The horse would hear its name announced, would it?
Horses know their names.
Yeah. Horses know their names.
A horse always knows. Oh, no, that's elephants, and that's, like, don't forget. Anyway.
A horse always knows.
An elephant never forgets. A horse always knows its name.
And Freddy never snitches.
Yeah, the three rules in life.
Yeah.
So somehow with the coat and the socks and everything, they get the horse through to the starting barrier. No one brings it up. No one's noticed that it's a different horse.
Can I just
different
say?
Different size. It's different colour.
Bandages.
It's clipping and clopping in the wrong way.
It's got the wrong shoes.
The other thing is, which I just realised, is it's the horse race for losers, right? So imagine all these horses are covered in bandages. Some are missing legs. They all look dishevelled anyway, right? So maybe that's how they're getting away with it.
The perfect disguise.
All these horses are second-rate or third, fourth-rate horses.
Oh, yeah. They wish they were second-rate horses.
We dream of that.
All morning, word had been spreading that something was afoot and money was plunged onto Fine Cotton, like we said before. There are stories of all sorts of people having money on the horse, including members of Queensland Police's fraud squad. They were there on track.
Hey, it's
a different time. Apparently, Queensland Police was a wild time in the 80s.
We're undercover, right?
Anything goes. It was the Wild West in Brisbane in the 80s, apparently. There was also a priest there putting on huge bets. Mobsters, they're all at the track cheering on the horse they knew to be a different horse.
So it's quite well known amongst
the word the got underworld. Out and it just seemed to spread and it felt like most people at the track somehow knew.
Everyone's cheering on this orange horse.
Fine Cotton, so it's race time now. Fine Cotton began the race slowly but built up speed. I guess at the start it would, you know, I was getting used to the new shoes. It built up speed and ended up running out of its skin, or at least for Fine Cotton, you know.
Oh, you don't mean that.
Literally. Down the home straight. Not literally, no. It kept its skin.
I mean,
on.
In this story, I mean, if they had bleached the horse, it may have
run out of its skin, yeah.
They realised during the race, it was a snake all along.
they put horseshoes on a snake. They're that dumb.
I don't have snake shoes. I've only got horseshoes.
Just put them on. We're going to go. Put them on.
Imagine he had snake shoes, like snakeskin shoes.
He's actually just a shoe salesman. A door-to-door shoe salesman.
Never seen a shoe in my life. So
I'm more of a flip-flop kind of guy.
Down the home straight, it was a race in two. Fine Cotton versus Harbour Gold. It was neck and neck. The horses traded the lead, one then the other. Harbour Gold, Fine Cotton, Harbour Gold,
Harbour
Fine Cotton.
Harbour Gold is the favourite.
Harbour Gold was the favourite.
Was the favourite, then dropped away. That's right, yeah. Okay.
Fine Cotton's kicking again on the inside. Fine Cotton and Harbour Gold. Fine Cotton's in front. They're drawing to the line. He's just in front. Fine Cotton, Harbour Gold lunge right on the line. They hit it all. Gee, this is close.
But in the end, as they hit the finishing line, Fine Cotton bobbed at the right time, winning the race.
No.
I don't know why I want to applaud.
Despite everything.
I mean, that horse has been through a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Really, but quite an amazing
fine
win.
Fine Cotton, but not Fine Cotton.
Yeah. Mm. As soon as the race finished, there were cries around the mounting yard. Ring in, ring in, to ring in.
Mayhem reigned in the betting rings here at Eagle Farm following the announcement of the disqualification of Fine Cotton. The little-known Coffs Harbour 8-year-old was backed in from 33-1 to start 7-2 equal favourite.
The racing stewards called for an immediate investigation. They should have already been suspicious based on the rumours and the betting plunge. But the white paint running down Fine Cotton's hooves probably tipped him off a little bit as well.
No!
He's melting, it's okay.
He does this after every race.
Yeah, it's fine.
His little socks melt. Don't worry about it, it's all right.
It's all right, it's how
Let's not shame a horse, okay? Yeah.
When you were saying painting the toenails different, I'm like, that is actually pretty close, Jess. The stewards requested trainer Hayden Haitana answer some questions, but he'd fled the track.
I don't blame him.
Winning bets on Fine Cotton were not honoured, and the race win was instead awarded to the second place Harbour Gold as an official inquiry was opened. Dave, so you were right. You said you would have put your money on Harbour Gold.
Thank you.
You would have won good money that day. Weeks later, Haitana came out of hiding to do an exclusive interview with 60 Minutes. Weeks later.
Amazing.
Where he claimed he only went through with it as he thought his life was at risk, saying a man threatened him with a gun. Haitana was found drinking in a pub outside of Adelaide around a month after the race and was taken back to Brisbane to face charges. Apparently he was spotted doing some shopping. They called the cops and they found him, traced him into a pub. Robert North, one of the other... The son of the socialite, he was also charged, and both men were sentenced to a year in prison.
Huh.
Gillespie was on the run for longer, but when he was eventually found as the ringleader, he was sent to prison for 4 years. None of them served the full sentences, but...
Right.
Well, what's really the charge? Is it animal cruelty type stuff?
I think it's fraud, fraud-based charges, yeah. And, yeah, I'd probably, back then, the animal's welfare, they're like, yeah, you can mistreat a horse,
sure,
it's horse racing.
But you can't rip off the punters.
Yeah. Especially when the fraud squad is in on the scam, sort of.
Yeah. The fraud squad would have made some money, and we didn't, and now you'll pay.
Yeah.
If you didn't pull it off properly, we're going to punish you for it.
Totally.
If you pulled it off, we'll turn a blind eye.
The three sort of, they didn't get on all that well, especially Gillespie and the socialite son, North. I've seen interviews with both of them since. North calls Gillespie a throwaway of a human being.
Oh.
And Gillespie...
I don't fully get that.
He's just like, he's not, he's just like...
Whatever.
Whatever, he's not worth thinking about. Whereas Gillespie calls North a guy with the heart of a split pea.
Oh, okay.
He said that when one of the phone calls of one of the mobsters came through... North took the call and he handed it over to Gillespie. Gillespie spoke to him for a bit and he turned around and North had fainted. That's the story he tells. It feels like it's all like they're just embellishing the stories in both directions.
Do you think maybe he left out that they'd both been donating blood at the time?
Yes. And he hadn't had any jelly beans.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I passed out during a blood test.
They were doing a blood test.
No blood.
Woke up on the floor. Had to say, I haven't had any breakfast. I had breakfast.
You're just a weak little boy.
Yeah. That would have meant you woke up on the floor. Does that mean you fell off the chair?
Yeah, fell from a chair. I was feeling funny and I'm like, I'm not going to say anything yet.
No, you always say something.
I'm going to lean forward and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and stand up.
Actually, I think I might go.
Yeah.
So the main three guys all got prison sentences. They weren't the only ones to find trouble, though.
Horse got prison sentence.
Oh, no.
the horse is okay, but a Catholic priest named Father Edward O'Dwyer was banned from racetracks for life after betting thousands on Fine Cotton, having prior knowledge of the scam. And maybe most famously, father-son bookmakers Bill and Robbie Waterhouse. You familiar with the Waterhouses?
Yes.
Gay Waterhouse's husband and father-in-law, and Tom Waterhouse's dad and granddad. They were banned from racing for life. as well. And they were both bookmakers, so that was their livelihood.
Really?
But they also were found to have made bets with prior knowledge and then apparently lied about it under oath as well.
Shit.
14 years later, that was overturned, so that I think Robbie Waterhouse maybe is still on track bookmaker again.
Yeah, I didn't know. Wow, that's crazy.
There are also stories floating around that certain people who were aware of the scam used it to their advantage. They assumed that the switch was always going to be uncovered, and some then used that knowledge to load up big on the original favourite, Harbour Gold, who by race time had inflated odds.
Yeah, right.
And but you can't take away their money though, can
no,
you?
No, so they got
bet
paid
on
out.
On yeah. a legitimate horse, wow.
John Gillespie was one of these people. He later claimed he and Sayers, the guy who financially backed the plan,
yeah.
the heavy guy, Gillespie later claimed that he and Sayers both made out with millions of winnings on Harbour Gold and that was, in fact, the plan all along.
Made out is funny. They made out with stacks of cash.
Yeah.
With a horse.
Right, so they bet on...
That's if you believe Gillespie. And a lot of people say you can't believe anything he says.
Yeah, right.
He's a big spinner. But if you do believe it, he pulled off the massive double sting without the knowledge of his co-conspirators, Haitana or North. In 2010, Gillespie told newspapers he had $1.8 million of winnings waiting for him once he got out of prison. And he took that overseas and invested around different businesses in Asia through the following decades. Others cast doubt on this version of events, including former Sydney Race Stewards Chairman John Schreck, who said of the revelation... With great respect to Mr. Gillespie, anything he says, you would have to take with a big pinch of salt.
Not a grain of salt.
A like pinch, a spoonful, it's actually a little bit
like
bigger.
A big pinch, he said, though.
Yeah.
Big pinch is several grains
of
salt.
So it's actually a little bit more than your average grain of salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he was trying to add extra emphasis into it, but he actually diluted his point. you'd have to take it with a huge, like a truckload of salt.
Yeah.
Wait, what's your point now?
I don't follow.
So yeah, it's hard to know, but it feels like Gillespie, you know, ego-wise, maybe he just wanted to be like, nah, I'm not an idiot. Yeah, I didn't do this huge dumb thing. That was the plan all along.
The plan all along was that the other horse would win. Duh.
Psych.
There's another story about a guy even higher than Sayers in the underworld who had knowledge of all of this and he used it to his advantage and made millions and millions out of
it. Right, but above that was someone else. Yeah. He was controlling him like a puppet.
Totally.
Who was betting against it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Mission Impossible film. Everyone's just taking masks off. Ah, did it all along. I meant to make that horse orange.
The horse takes his mask off and it's Tom Cruise.
You might be wondering what happened to the real fine cotton.
Yes.
Normally, horses that have been involved in scandals like this apparently get put down. I think a lot of...
What? Why?
It did nothing.
What did it do?
But I think that it's just like, its name, its reputation has been ruined.
So just let it live on farm.
The horse racing industry is they, like, so many of them just, they end up getting put down.
But what reputation are you talking about? He was 10th of 12 shithouse horses.
Yeah. But now we know that was because they were overworking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And purposely.
9 out of 30 days.
So it wasn't even that bad. That's the weird thing about it. Why not just get a real shit horse?
Just let it live on a farm somewhere.
Well, you'll be glad. That's what normally happens to them. And that's what horse racing normally does. Just kills them off once they're no longer race worthy. But Haitana helped avoid this by hiding it. On his way out, he hid it at the Queensland Mounted Police paddock just up the road amongst the police horses. He just like let Fine Cotton into the police horse paddock.
It really was a crazy time for police, wasn't it?
Basically hiding it in plain sight, which is my favourite way to hide something.
Yep.
And it wasn't until months after the scandal that they discovered Fine Cotton was in there hanging out with the other horses. Months.
Because they're doing like a head count. And they're like, hang on, we got an extra horse.
Yeah, it's an extra head of horse here. From then, Fine Cotton was bought by a movie producer named John Stainton, who apparently was the guy who gave the crocodile hunter his big break.
Ah. And we thank you for your service, John Stainton.
He knows talent when he sees it. That horse is going to be a star.
That is totally what he thought. He also bought the rights to the story and he was hoping to turn it into a film with Fine Cotton playing himself.
Oh.
That's not a horse. This is a horse.
Fine Cotton in his debut performance.
As.
Fine Cotton.
Things didn't pan out, though, and that movie never got made.
Not yet.
Not yet. But all good things must come to an end.
Oh, no.
And the Battler's Prince died in 2009 at the ripe old age of 32. So it did live a good life for a horse.
Is that old for a horse?
Apparently that's a pretty good innings.
Nice.
Mm. And for the ring in Bold Personality, so I didn't mention it before, but when they bought Bold Personality, the syndicate bought it with a dodgy check.
So they're like, they did.
We weren't realizing we were going to have to buy another horse now, so we don't have any money until we make all this money from the scam. So they wrote a check and said, yeah, cash that. But there was no money in the account. So when they fled, Bold Personality, luckily, the Coffs Harbour horse owner happened to be on track that day. So apparently a lot of the day they were like, oh, he's going to notice. So they had to like, there was this scam within the scam of keeping his attention away from his old horse.
Oh, my God.
Hey, over here. Whoa, ooh, hey, no,
ooh. Like trying to get a baby to take a photo. You're like, ooh, yeah. Ooh, look, keys. Ooh. Isn't that fun, Sam?
Get out of the way. I need to watch the horse race. No.
He's a bunny. Ooh, bunny. Oh,
they're giving away free pies. You like those, right?
That'll work for you, Dave. That'll work for you.
Yeah, sorry. That's my one thing.
It's how I distract you always.
So but because the check bounced, they never really bought it off him. So the original owner got him back, and he also lived a quiet life into his old age.
Oh, yay.
But I think it was a super, like, it just ruined him as a racehorse.
Oh, no.
And he never raced again, I don't believe.
But he did die.
But he did live a long, peaceful life, which is nice.
That's
and it,
good.
And, yeah, that brings us to the end of the story of the Fine Cotton Scandal. The darkest day in Australian racing history. Not really, but they said that in the papers at the time. They've done more fuck stuff than this. This is a spin-off of our podcast Do Go On, with over 200 episodes to listen to. If you like this topic, check out some of our other sport controversy-related episodes like The Malice at the Palace, The Montreal Screwjob, The Rumble in the Jungle, and that time Australian cricketer David Boone drank 52 beers flying from Sydney to London. Subscribe for free on your favourite podcast app, and be sure to subscribe to this channel to check out our other videos.
Now we're going to take Matt away to get that horrible horse brown out of his beard.
Oh, you've got to give that a good rinse.
Ooh.
Rinse that off, you dirty boy.
Get in the front yard.
Evan, could you fix this in post somehow? Maybe just put a horse on my face?
Put glitter in it.
Oh, glitter horse. Yeah, glitter
you,
horse,
Evan.
That'll fix it.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.